Hey there, it's Dale and John again welcoming you to GESPCU, the University of All Things Guaranteed Energy Savings Performance Contracting. This podcast is part of a series presented by the Energy Services Coalition and sponsored by the United States Department of Energy.
And with each episode, we're going to walk you through a different aspect of performance contracting. On this podcast, we're going to look a little deeper into some of the important considerations that you'll likely weigh while trying to decide if performance contracting is right for you. Maybe your facilities have been limping along for years despite their long-term issues, and now those long-term issues have turned into immediate or even emergency needs that simply have to be addressed. Yet, the biggest challenge is still the same. There seems to never be enough funds in your budgets to take care of these crucial issues.
Yeah, and then along comes someone, maybe a colleague, a peer, a neighboring government entity, or perhaps even a salesperson, and they say, well, you might want to consider energy performance contracting. Well, you think, well, what the heck is it? Or how does it work? Or where does the money come from? Has anybody really done this? And how will I ensure that we get fixed what I need fixed and at a fair value?
Well, I'd be thinking that too, Dale. We've touched previously on a little history and the fundamentals in earlier podcasts, but let's see if we can address a few of these questions. Performance contracting is a means of finance. It's a competitive procurement that includes a scope of work for implementation, construction, and services all wrapped into one. For public entities, it's generally accompanied by a contractual guarantee that the annual cost savings projected to accrue from the work of the project will cover all the costs, including the principal and interest of your upfront financing.
Yeah, and where the upfront money comes from, well, that's another question. Funding typically relies on a third-party solution. So you could use traditional financing methods such as issuing bonds, and frankly, there are a lot of different kinds of bonds to consider, or a bank loan or a type of lease. But to be sure, the appropriate source to compare financial products and how they best fit your project is a registered municipal advisor. That's their job. Nevertheless, while these options all sound like new debt, and maybe they are, remember, performance contracting is founded on a guarantee that the utility and maintenance cost savings will cover all repayment costs. So while this might be a net neutral transaction, whether it's debt or not is a question best left to a knowledgeable accountant and your credit agency.
Well, hopefully you now have a better understanding of the concept of performance contracting, but there's still more to know, like whether performance contracting will solve your needs, and even more importantly, how do you get to the go, no-go decision?
Well, for starters, let's review some foundational concepts. Almost every state has a pretty unique enabling statute empowering, if not endorsing, the use of performance contracting. Reading and understanding your statute and knowing its big picture tenets is incredibly important. Things like what sorts of measures are eligible, what the savings pay for, the contract term in years, whether or not you can contribute other appropriated funds, and if a guarantee of savings is actually required or merely suggested, just to mention a few. It may also provide basic required minimum qualifications for energy services companies to participate as pre-qualified providers. Additionally, does your statute charge a department or agency with guiding the process? And if it does, well, that should be your next stop.
The fact that there is performance contracting specific legislation should in and of itself provide you a level of comfort knowing that the process has been well thought out and is indeed supported by your state.
So armed with a knowledge of the concept and an understanding of the laws in your state, now you can start to explore if it's the right solution for you. So what else do you need to know? Well, what most want to know is if the savings are real. Can they really be relied on? And will I get this stuff at a fair price? And What happens if the savings don't accrue?
Most of what we are talking about is black and white. That means devices that you're using today are using X amount of energy. And when you replace them with more efficient devices, they will use less energy and result in utility cost savings, as long as you use them in the same way for the same amount of time.
Plus, it should be known, the building owner is not the only one worried about meeting the savings projections. The ESCOs have their reputations to protect. It's clearly in their best interest that their projects perform as guaranteed. So in order to confirm that the guaranteed cost savings are achieved each year, the ESCO and you will develop a mutually agreeable measurement and verification process to document and demonstrate the cost savings each year of your contract.
So remember, if the cost savings are not achieved in any year as guaranteed, the ESCO will pay you the amount of the dollar savings shortfall so you can continue to meet your financial obligations. Dale, we've heard a lot of myths out there circulating around performance contracting. Why don't you touch on a couple of them?
Well, there are a couple that leap immediately to mind. You know, I've heard it said, I don't want somebody from the outside to take over my facilities. Or said another way, I won't risk having someone come in and make all the decisions and leave me with brands and operational strategies that, well, we just can't live with. But the truth is, that's not how this works. As a facility owner, these are your facilities. And you do not lose control of your facilities if you enter into a contract. You, in fact, become a part of the decision-making process for all the decisions, right down to brand of products used.
Dale, I think that truth cannot be emphasized strongly enough. You and your organization will provide continuous oversight of all the aspects of the project. Nothing will be done without your knowledge and mutual consent. So when you arrive at the decision to enter into an energy performance contract, the contract will explicitly define these responsibilities. And if it doesn't, you should see that it does. Understanding your contract with the ESCO and your respective responsibilities is very important, and one you control by creating a very well-written contract. You can even write into the document the review of subcontractors for the project or the opportunity to recommend some of your own local contractors.
You know, John, I've even heard people talk about losing control from a management perspective. And I look at that as two different alternatives. Number one, I could elect to get engaged with multiple companies and the various aspects of design and procurement and coordination of one trade around another trade. Or if it was me, I just want to take an oversight role for a single company. To me, that would be a lot easier. In a performance contract, you're looking to an ESCO to be that single source for everything from how devices get installed to proving how and whether the guaranteed savings are achieved.
Another recurring misunderstanding about performance contracting is related to how the costing and pricing works.
Well, exactly. As we all know, public stewards of funds, including procurement officials, are charged with making sure that they pay a fair price for a scope of work and solicit multiple participants to respond. If you're working with a single source, how would you make sure that you get a fair price? Well, for starters, when the ESCO is selected, it's by a means of competitive procurement. ESCOs have submitted a percentage of markup for everything from engineering and project management to overhead and profit. It should and is typically open and transparent. And regarding subcontractors and systems and devices, well, the owner should be working alongside the ESCO to review and approve all solicitations, bids, vendor specifications, subcontract documents, and costs.
Absolutely. I think knowing that you're entering into a partnership and agreement for full and open transparency can go a long way toward assuring that you're making a sound business decision. Well, we hope we have provided some helpful insights as well as clarified some of the common misunderstandings and myths that we've boosted your confidence level that energy performance contracting may be the best solution for you your facility and operational needs. We invite you to join us for our next episode as we explore best practices to ensure you select the best ESCO to meet your needs.
Join us next time as we take that deeper dive. GESPCU. See you next time.